All right, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 31. The Word of God said, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Again, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. We're going to look at this lady in the Bible by the name of Rahab this morning as we look at that series of messages by faith. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. You could call the message today, Rahab, from a harlot to a hero. These are heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the fact, God, that you included Rahab in the list of these heroes of the faith. Lord, you got something for us this morning. I pray, God, you'd help us as we deliver the message this morning. Lord, help us and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. Lord, I'm thankful today for your goodness. I pray you'll minister to every heart, minister to every life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Wherever you travel throughout the world, and today there will be many people in the world that will breathe their last breath. They will leave this world today. Many will leave while we're in church this morning. They'll leave this world. But in all of those that will be leaving, there's only two categories of people. It'll be those that perish and those that perish not. Those that perish and those that perish not. I want you to think about that. It's sobering. Amen. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you have everlasting life this morning? Can you say, if you leave this world today, "I know that heaven will be my home"? You see, Rahab was able to say that, and God included her in the hall of faith. I want to examine three things in the life of Rahab today, and I hope and pray that God will help me to get this across clearly, because I believe it's really, really important. Go back with me to Joshua, please, in your Bible. Joshua chapter number 2. This is where you find the thrust of the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter number 2. The Bible said in Joshua the son of Nun in verse number 1, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went, and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. How many of you all have heard the term happenstance? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that these spies just happened? Or do you think that God has a hand? There's something called happenstance, and the first thing I want to talk to you about is providence. You see, here was a woman that had already heard, amen, about what God was doing in Israel. And she had already heard about their God. She had already heard about his power. And she believed the things that she heard. And I believe that it's evident here that there's two walls, and there's a space between, and then there's a house on top of the wall you can read about here. And Rahab lived in that house. They entered the city and they came upon this house, the house of this harlot, Rahab. And that's where they dwelt there for a little while. And then if you read the rest of the story, they were hid. And she actually lied to the king and she said, "They've run out of the city, pursue after them." And then after about 3 days, they were able to go. But I want you to understand this morning, when we're talking about God's providence, that it's been a blessing to me to think that in the providence of God, I was able to have a Sunday school teacher that taught me about Jesus. In the providence of God, I was able to live in a country where I could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was problems in the church that I had left. Those 6.5 years of church membership, it dwindled and dwindled and dwindled and dwindled. To make a long story short, there was a lot of family in the church, and what happened, family began to leave, Brother Chris, and the preacher would be preaching to the ones that left instead of the ones that were there. And he wasn't feeding us. And it just dwindled and dwindled. And my mom and my dad and myself, we were some of the last ones just to depart and go somewhere else. But all of that was in the providence of God. Because God was going to get me under an old-fashioned preacher. And I was going to not make it too long until God was going to convict me of my sin. And God was going to help me to understand that there's more to this than religion. I needed a relationship with the Lord Jesus. The guilt that I was carrying, it was pacified by religious activity for a while. But the only way my guilt could be put away was to come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and admit that I was the sinner that He said I was. And He was the Savior that He said He was. And in the providence of God, that Sunday night in February, in an old-fashioned altar, He saved my soul. But when I look back at it, I just thank God that here, these spies, they didn't just end up there by happenstance, but God, before the foundation of the world, knew about a harlot that needed to be forgiven, who needed her life changed. And by the way, I don't know if I can remember this. I heard this statement recently, and I'm trying my best to remember it. No one is so bad that they can't be saved. I believe that's close. No one is so bad that they can't be saved, and no one is so good that they don't need to be saved. Did y'all hear that? No one is so bad that they can't be saved, and no one is so good that they don't need to be saved. Ask Nicodemus. Ask the Apostle Paul. I'm telling you, there were some good men in the Scripture, amen, who thought they were doing the right thing. And in the providence of God, beloved, we see God working in the life of Rahab. I'm just going to give you an example or two here. Number one, I thought about this. In the providence of God, God interrupted Philip's ministry. Philip is down in Samaria. They're having a revival. I mean, things are clicking. Amen. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. And it's a wonderful meeting. But in the providence of God, God sees a eunuch out there in the desert that's got his Bible open. And he's reading in the book of Isaiah. In the providence of God, beloved, God had Philip to go into the desert and meet up with that eunuch. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, you're not here this morning by accident. You don't live in the Bible Belt by accident. You don't sit under Bible preaching by accident. In the providence of God, God has you where He wants you. And He wants you to understand that He loves you. And He wants you to understand if there's hope for a harlot, there's hope for you. Amen. And that God can change your life and give you a purpose in your life. Amen. To live. And I thought about that. I thought about Cornelius. I don't know what he was doing. He was a centurion. He was the first Gentile in the New Testament to be saved. And beloved, God sent Peter down there to his house. He let Peter have that dream. He said, don't you call anything I've made common or unclean. And he sends him down there to the house of Cornelius. And beloved, Cornelius, the Bible said his prayers and his alms had come up to God for a memorial. He was doing doing all that he knew how to do. He was acting on all the light that he had. And God said, I'm going to send him some more light. Amen. And Cornelius, I had missed this, Brother Chris, but not just Cornelius, but his whole house got saved. Hallelujah. God loves to save households. Amen. The whole house, amen, got saved in the providence of God. I thought about it in my own life, in the providence of God, how I ended up sitting next to that young lady when seven of us were flying to Mexico. Ended up sitting next to a very attractive young lady with a daughter on the plane. And in the providence of God, there was a grandmother in Texas and an aunt in Texas that was praying for her salvation. And God had her sat down right beside of a preacher that took the Bible, amen, 14,000 feet somewhere between Atlanta and San Antonio. She said yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm telling you, beloved, I don't believe in these accidents. I believe it's the providence of God. I wrecked when I was 45 years old and witnessed to the man in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? His home was in a wreck. I'm just trying to say, beloved, if we would believe God, we'd understand this morning, beloved, that God, divine providence, is at work in our lives, amen, and that we are where we are because He is at work in our lives. There's many other examples I could give you. I'm telling you, beloved, in the providence of God, God had these men to go in. We not only see God's providence in the life of Rahab, but we also see God's power in the life of Rahab. Look here in verse number 9 with me, please. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. I love those two words, I know. There's a lot that I don't know, but I tell you, I can shout over what I do know. Amen. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Beloved, those people there, listen, they were shaking in their shoes, so to speak. They had heard, watch what the Bible said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Notice these two words, for you. Let me ask you a question. Has God done anything for you? What's God done for you? Has anybody heard about what God's done for you? Amen. I'm telling you, it's about time we get off the stool of do nothing. Amen. And tell somebody what God's done for you. Amen. Not what He wants to do for them, but what He's done for you. And when you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon, and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And the Bible said, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God. Watch this now. I'm talking about a woman that believed God. There's no wonder she's in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. The Bible said here, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Boy, it's a happy day when you realize He's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Amen. And the Word of God is going to tell us here about God's power. She saw God's power working in His people. As she heard, she hoped, she was helped. And then later she was honored. Amen. This same woman, Rahab, the harlot, she heard this news. She hoped, amen, that the God that had delivered the Israelites, she had hoped that maybe, just maybe, He could deliver her from her sin, amen, and deliver her life. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, the Bible said over there in the book of James that when she had received the messengers, you see, they were not just spies, glory to God, they were messengers. That night, brother, my pastor wasn't just a pastor, he was a messenger, amen. He stood up with a message from God, and God smote my my heart and help me to understand my need of Him. There's power. God's power is at work in Rahab's life. There's power to convict. Beloved, listen. Jesus, Christ the Lord, He's more than just a babe in a manger. We're going to celebrate Christmas. But honey, He grew up. He grew up perfect. He was crucified. Why? For His sin? No, for our sin. He bore our sin in His body on the tree. And beloved, listen, they buried Him. But thank God the third day rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He was seen of over 5,000 brethren at once, or 500 brethren at once. And beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, these people were willing to die for the gospel because they knew that He died, but they knew that He got up. And one day, beloved, we're going to get up as well. There was power to convict. Thank God, beloved. Listen, the Bible said here, the Bible said they heard. Look how they dried up the water. And the Bible talks about the terror. Look in verse number 9. Your terror has fallen upon us. The Word of God said over there in the book of Corinthians, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's not just the gentle Jesus in a manger, but honey, I'm telling you, that same Jesus is judge. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, we need to be convicted of our sin. And then we need to be convinced. Look at the last part of verse number 11. The Bible said He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. There was no doubt in Rahab's mind that God, the God that was for the people of Israel, that God, beloved, was one that could be trusted. And so she was convinced. And then in verse number 18 and verse number 19, let's read it together. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. There's that household salvation again. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. You say, Pastor, there's power to convict. There's power to convince. What do you see in these verses? There's power to cleanse. That scarlet cord, beloved, represents nothing other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a scarlet thread all the way through the Old Testament, pointing to the Lamb of God in the New Testament. That scarlet thread is seen in Adam's coat. It's seen in Abel's lamb. It's seen in Noah's sacrifice. It's seen in Abraham's ram. It's seen in the Passover lambs. It's seen in the temple sacrifice. And then John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan River and said, Behold the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. He's not going to put off our sin from year to year, but behold the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, beloved, thank God for that scarlet cord. Amen. That runs all the way. Somebody said one time, you can't see Jesus in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're blind as a bat if you can't see Jesus in the Old Testament. You can't even get out of Genesis 1 without seeing Jesus. Amen. Let us make man in our own image. Us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for the Lord Jesus. Amen. There was power to convict, power to convince, but there was power to cleanse. Rahab perished not with those, beloved, that believed not. Oh, beloved, she was justified in the book of James. The Word of God said, by works, because she hid the spies. I want to teach you this in case you don't know, but there's not a contradiction. The Word of God teaches that justification is by faith. It's not by works. And then the Bible said she was justified by works. Well, how do you marry those two scriptures up? It's pretty easy when you think about it. In the eyes of God, a man is justified by faith. God can know and God knows whether a man believes him or not. But in the eyes of man, all they can see is the evidence of that faith. And the evidence of Rahab's faith is she was willing, beloved, to hide the spies, to spare their life, willing to get her whole house together that night when they were going to come and march around Jericho and God's judgment was going to fall on the city. Beloved, she was willing to get them together behind that scarlet cord, amen, believing that what the oath that they had taken with the spies would come to pass and that their lives would be spared. Rahab perished not. We see, beloved, listen, there's power to convict and power to convince and power to cleanse. But then I want you to think about this. What about the power to change? This woman's been changed now. Beloved, let me say this to you. I thought this was pretty good. Listen, religion, Adrian Rogers said this. He said, if your religion hasn't changed your life, you better change your religion. I like that. Say amen. Years ago, religion meant more than it means today. People would go to on the job and they'd say, oh, so-and-so got religion. What they meant was, he ain't drinking no more. Hey man, he ain't out there in the hell holes and the dives of this world anymore. He had an encounter with Jesus and his life has changed. That's what that used to mean. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that there was a change in Rahab's life. And I believe that God wants us to key in on that for just a moment. Can you say that God has changed your life? Jesus Christ, beloved. Listen, I heard this at George Bush. It was during a debate. And George Bush was asked who was his favorite philosopher. And he did not hesitate. He said, Jesus Christ, he changed my life. Amen. I thank God that somebody's not ashamed. By the way, the Bible said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you're ashamed of him, there's a problem somewhere. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, he ought to be the hero of our life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life was changed. Beloved, listen to this poem, would you please? You've heard it maybe, and maybe you haven't, so I'm going to read it. I've never read it in its entirety that I can remember. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks, he cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two. Only two, $2. And who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no, from the room in the far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then he wiped the dust from the old violin, and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I to bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, and who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going, going, and gone. As said he, the people cheered, but whom some of them cried, we do not quite understand what changed its worth. Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Oh, I tell you, I love the song, If You Knew Me Before I Knew Jesus. Amen. I tell you, you'd understand, beloved, there's been a change. You'd understand why I love him. Amen. And that violin, it was just a piece of junk, it looked like, until somebody knew how to tune it, until somebody knew how to play it. Amen. Glory to God. God can take a life that's plumb out of tune. Amen. He can take a life that's broken and make it over again. I know the man who can. Amen. His name is Jesus. Rahab was a mess. Rahab was living in sin. I'm telling you, there used to be a place in Baltimore. I never stopped there, but I've driven through the place. It's an ugly place. It's called the Block. And that's where you say, well, why did you drive through there? To get where I was going. Amen. But we go through there, and I mean, there's prostitutes on every corner. They're standing everywhere. And it's obvious, beloved, that they're headed to that house of ill repute. But I want to think, beloved, that more than one harlot's been saved over the years. More than one, amen, has come to that place where the Savior said, there's something more. There's something more. There's something more. You're empty now. But, beloved, I can fill you with my Spirit and fill you with my presence. And thank God we see God's providence in the life of Rahab, but also we see God's power in the life of Rahab. I want to give you this morning in closing. There's one more thing that we see, not only the providence of God in the life of Rahab and the power of God in the life of Rahab, but there was a purpose. God had a purpose in the life of Rahab. Many of you know this, and many of you don't know this, I'm sure. But I'm going to share this with you this morning. Listen, God didn't just save you to take you to heaven. This is the way I like to say it. If that were the case, He would have saved me February 22nd, 1987, knocked me in the head and took me home. If that's the only reason He saved me. But He saved me and He had a purpose for my life. He has a purpose for your life. Young people, He has a purpose for your life. That's why I encourage you to serve Him. Seek His face. Trust Him. Amen. And God's purpose is evident in the life of Rahab. Let me give you some things about Rahab. She was the great-great-grandmother of King David. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, wait a minute. You say, now, Pastor, King David, he's somebody special. Yes, he is. But let me tell you something else about King David. He's right in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you believe that God would take a harlot and pick her up out of a lifestyle of sin and put her right in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? You better read Matthew chapter number 1. Right there she is. Say amen. In Matthew chapter number, I tell you what, the way some of you are looking at me, turn there. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I want you to see this, beloved. God had a purpose. He doesn't just do things by happenstance. God was looking at Rahab's life and knowing that He could do something with her life that would bring honor and glory to Him. Look in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Matthew, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and Judas begot Phares and Zerah, Tamar, and Phares begot Esrom, and Esrom begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Solomon begot Boaz of, that's Rahab. The reason it's a CH is because in the Greek, the way that it comes out, that's none other. Listen, I'm telling you that she was the great-great-grandmother of King David, and she was the mother of Boaz. You know what I believe? When Boaz looked out there at Ruth in that field, that Gentile, that Moabitish woman, amen, the Bible said of Moab, it's my washpot. Amen. You know why I believe he didn't look down his nose? He knew what God had done for Mama. Amen. And he knew he could do the same thing for Ruth. I'm telling you, listen, God had a purpose, amen, in Ruth's life. God had a purpose in Rahab's life. And God has a purpose in your life. Beloved, she's the great-great-grandmother of King David. She's the mother of Boaz who married Ruth. She's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, she's in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews. God God has taken this woman from a harlot and made out of her a hero of the faith. We see God's purpose in her faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. God's purpose in her family, where he put her in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. And then we see God's purpose in her future. Listen to me, while we're meeting this morning, when Jesus rose, he went into paradise and he took those souls with him. Are you listening to me? Brother, she's around the throne of God with men like Jeremiah. She's around the throne of God with men like John the Baptist. She's around the throne of God with men like Paul and men like Silas. She's around the throne of God, beloved, with Enoch. She's around the throne of God with Abel. She's around the throne of God with Noah. She's around the throne of God. You say, a harlot ain't got no business around the throne of God. I'm going to tell you, beloved, the Bible talks about that list of sin. Idolaters and adulterers and effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. And the Apostle Paul looked at the church at Corinth and said, such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what's that saying? It's saying this, it's different now. Amen. When a man comes to know Jesus Christ, it's different now when we place our faith in him. God saw a purpose in her future. And I thank God that God sees a purpose in your life. God sees a purpose in my life. Let me ask you this. Can you say in sincerity, God has changed my life? Can you say that? If you can say that, you're blessed. Amen. Then you can say that you've experienced the power of God in your life. And you've experienced, beloved, the presence of God, the providence of God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Beloved, if God could save Rahab, and he did, he can save anybody. Amen. And I'll tell you this morning, before you get too high and holy looking down your nose at a harlot, you better realize this. If a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Amen. There's no one so bad that God can't save them, and no one so good that they don't need to be saved. Rahab, she said, he's God in heaven above. He's God in earth beneath. Is he God in your life? Do you know him? If you had to leave this world today, where would you go? I don't know if you understand church or not, but we meet to worship. But I tell you, I believe every Christian that's worth their salt, we want others to go with us. We want you to go with us. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. We want you to go with us to the city of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to come in your presence once again. Lord, you changed Rahab's life. God, I'm glad I can stand here today and say that you changed my life. You're still changing my life. And one day, Lord, there will be an ultimate change. I'll leave this body, this robe of flesh. I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. We'll have a body likened to the glorious body of the Son of God. Until then, Lord, would you help us to live for you? Would you help us to serve you? God, those that are under the sound of our voice today who've never experienced that change, may they think about that today. May they consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And may they, Lord, come to know you in the free pardon of sin. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.